Just two chords. Daylight, day. What a dreary shades on the way. While we do his good will, he delights in the still, and with all who will trust and obey, oh, trust and obey. Shadow can, oh yes, not a cloud in the sky, but he smile quickly dries it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sign or a tear can abide while we trust. One more time, trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
God bless you, saints. I'd like to thank the Lord. Last week when we traveled to England, on our way back, Xavier got unwell in the ferry. And then he started just feeling sick. He was sleeping in the bus for a long time. And then he said, "Mommy, when you are sleeping in the ferry, me, I'll be awake playing just the games." But when we got there, it was a different story. He just suddenly fell unwell. And then I asked him, "What is wrong?" He said, "I'm feeling sick." And I said, "Do you want me to help you with anything?" He said, "Just come and sit next to me." But immediately in that thought, because it was quiet and it was in the middle of night, I didn't think of anything or to call the people that can help him. But I just said, "Just go to the bathroom and wash your face." He said, "I'm very weak, Mommy. I don't know what's going on." And then he put the iPad down. And then immediately like that, I just thought in my heart, there's something I want to spoil my testimony. I just went to him, and then I took off his shoes, and then I said, "What? Where exactly are you feeling?" And I said, "In the stomach, it's just boiling. I'm feeling weak, and I don't know. I'm feeling dizzy." And then I put my hand like that. I didn't worry about other passengers. You know how it is in the ferry, just an open place. Just laid my hand, and I started praying straight away. But I believe it was just the level of faith and the grace of God. And just in the next few minutes, I said, "How do you feel?" He just said, "Oh, well, I still feel unwell." And I took him and I lie him down. And then a few minutes, he fell asleep. Amen. And then the rest of the night, he was sleeping. And then when he woke up in the morning, I said, "How do you feel?" He said, "Mama, I'm fine. I just don't know what happened." And I thank
Hallelujah.
God for that. And I would like also to thank him also. He's a faithful God, always. Yesterday I was at work and I had really desired to be in the house of the Lord if possible. I knew that if we finish early, I can manage even to catch the second service. So around 5 o'clock, an incident happened. It just happened that I felt hot in the place that we work. I work in the kitchen as a commis chef. So I just felt hot. Before I asked for help, it was too late. I just moved myself from the hot ovens. And then when I was asking water from the manager, before she even bring the water, I felt dizzy. And then I just remember holding something, not to fall. By God's grace, I think someone spotted me, one of the colleagues. I didn't fall down. They managed to hold me before I fell down. But all what I remember, I just woke up surrounded by the first aid team, like about 12 people calling me, very hard, like to say, I think they were very maybe scared. They were just worried. I just didn't know what's happening. And when I realized that just the first aid people around me, I knew that something happened. And then they took me to the doctor's room. They kept me there for 2 hours, from 5 to 7, monitoring my oxygen levels. But from there, and the teacher said, "Oh, I'm well." Between those hours, they tried even to ask me if I could give them some next of kin, the number to call, because they are not happy at that moment about me when I came back, like after I collapsed. When they were keeping me in the room, I gave them the numbers. I said, "This one is my brother's number." They tried to call Brother Wimo. They tried to call Brother Dub. I told them they can't get him. He's outside the country. They can only get him through WhatsApp call. But they managed to get Brother Dub. They spoke to him. They told him what is happening. And then while I was there, it was like around 2-7, they said, the doctor came and checked me and said, "No, this patient is fine. You can now let her go home." Amen. So just after that, one of the resource managers, they just said, "Oh, we'll get you a text to take you home to make sure that you reach home safe." And then in my mind, and then I had given them my address. So they said the text will take you home to Parbrugen straight away. And then immediately like that, and then my mind remembered that I'm not going home. My aim, I was coming to church. So I just told her, I said, "I'm not going home. Actually, I'm going to Sandra. I'm going to church. That's where my family is now." And they said, "Are you sure you'll be okay?" I said, I'm sure. Then they told the taxi driver, they said, to take care and make sure that she's fine. And then, thanks the Lord, it has not even for me to pay that taxi, and then it got me to church quicker, and then I got my blessing.
Hallelujah.
Thank the Lord for that. We're going to sing a song. This song was in my heart from last weekend. I was praying for something, and then after I just came across this song, it stayed in my heart and it didn't leave me, and I just want to sing for the glory of the Lord.
Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for Calvary.
I thank you, Lord.
Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for Calvary.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for Calvary.
I thank you, Lord.
Thank you for Calvary.
I thank you, Lord.
Your victory is won. The battle is over. Thank you for Calvary.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for Calvary.
I thank you, Lord.
The victory is won. The battle is over. Thank you for Calvary.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's already done. Already done.
I thank you, Lord. You died on
the cross to take away my shame. Thank you for Calvary.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you
for Calvary. Thank you for Calvary.
I thank you, Lord.
You died on a cruel cross to take away. for Calvary.
Hallelujah.
He's already done.
Chorus while Sister Patience comes.
Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee, as with thy best
the Lord with a song called There Is a Fountain in the House of David. And I will take you from the nations and bring you to your own land, and I'll be sanctified in you before the eyes of men. A new heart will I give you and place my spirit within. I'll sprinkle clean water on you and save you from your sins. There is a fountain opened in the house of David to you who believe. And in that day, what a day that will be, a fountain shall
be opened up, and you shall be wholly clean. There is a fountain opened in the house of David to you who believe, and there are streams.
Amen. There's a fountain open today in the house of David.
In this, the closing day of
the closing day of time,
the joy, the glorious hope of glory of hope, and soon the wondrous truths of your truth sublime. Very soon, with joy.
portals of the sky. He shall come to prepare a barrier. Oh, come quickly, Lord, come quickly, Lord. He is coming soon, soon and very soon. With joy we welcome his return. It may be morning, it may be night or dawn. Oh, we know, we know. He's coming soon. And we who live in yet remain. Oh, we live in yet remain. Oh, time shall meet up. We shall meet our faithful Lord in the sky. This hope we cherish. We cherish not in vain.
His returning.
Hallelujah.
He's appeared to prepare us for his coming.
Amen.
We're in a cycle that cannot be broken. We're in the rapture cycle. It's been opened. It's in process. We've been caught up together with him already. And we're just waiting for the end of the cycle. Is that how you feel in your soul today?
Hallelujah.
Is it real to you? Our friends, it's wonderful. Let's sing one more, Brother George, as you wait for Brother George to come.
Where he will lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust,
oh, to trust him so.
And I repay him, twice for me, that he was slain on Calvary.
Oh, he lead me, Jesus shall lead. Let us never forget, for I remember
Calvary.
Oh, I delight,
oh, I delight in
his command. I love to be led by his dear hand. Please, Lord, lead us. Oh, his divine will is sweet. Speak to me, yeah, Lord, by blasting
Calvary.
Oh, lead, Jesus shall lead me, night and day. Oh, lead, Jesus shall lead me.
so near, trusting that I someday shall see Jesus, my friend of Calvary.
Oh, let him lead.
Jesus shall lead me night and day.
Oh, he lead.
Jesus shall lead me all the way. He's the truest of friends to me.
Never let me forget.
Oh, I remember Calvary.
Amen.
And since we so remember Calvary, it's all because of him. Just want to greet Brother Innocent, Amen. The saints that came in there. God bless you, saints. Feel at home. And let's give over now to Brother George. Have your liberty, brother, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yet another opportunity, privilege. Thank you, Pastor. It's not easy these days to trust the pulpit to just any Tom, Dick, and Harry.
Yes.
There's a lot going around in the message, so we feel very honored when one stands aside to say, you may speak to the sheep. While we are standing, if my brother can give me 1 Samuel chapter 17, I'd like to read the first 7 verses. 1 Samuel 17, 1 till 7. I will read the first verse, then you enjoy the comfort of your seats. I continue to read to verse 7 then. Now, the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together, notice, at Shoko. Notice the place which belongs to who? Did not even belong to them. It belonged to Judah. And they pitched between Shoko and Azekah in Ephes Damim. You may enjoy the comfort of your seats. I continue reading verse 2. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah. Elah stands for terebinth trees. This valley, every year we do Israel, we take the believers to this place, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. We heard last night how God wants to take us to the mountain. Make sure you're on the right side of the mountain, because Goliath is also on some kind of a mountain. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Today it's about 9 feet something. Probably reached the ceiling. If he raised his hands went through the roof. Verse 5, and he had an helmet of brass upon his head. Notice the detail. Brass was upon him. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, approximately 60 kilograms, just the weight of his armor. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. His armor was so heavy that one bearing a shield even went before him. He didn't even carry his own shield. May God add blessing to the reading of his word. I'd like to go straight to the message entitled, Message Titles, Our Defense System. Allow me to share with you a quotation that I feel will be backed up by what God has to say to us tonight. I am going to get excited tonight. I've had a good lunch. The Message, the Masterpiece. Please do yourself a favor and listen to the tape in the course of the week or whatever time. Brother Branham says in page 36, I'm quoting from the old books because we are the Madaras, you see. We still have the old books. The paragraph where he begins is paragraph 185, but I won't read all of it. I'll take snippets. You make sure you listen to all of it. In paragraph 186, he says, this is the first time I'm going to tell the vision. He begins to relate the vision of the bride, the early bride, and then Miss America, the churches of the world today, and the last day bride. And he says, when he describes a bride, he says, early and latter bride were the same. He takes the pain to speak about the sister's sleeves. Right here, page 37, he says, they, the true bride, had longer sleeves. The reason why I'm emphasizing that as a pastor as well, I'm beginning to see in my church those shoulder-hugging sleeves. They are getting shorter. The sleeves are becoming so that when sisters must raise their hands to say, praise the Lord, we don't want to see the younger mountains. Do you know Mount Everest? We are laughing, but it's serious because God had the prophet emphasize. And he goes on, he speaks about long hair, and in my church, we are multiracial, I always say, whatever hair is on your head, it's long to God if you don't cut it. Amen. He moves on, he says, the cleanest, sweetest looking, meaning dress code. Amen. And I'm sad to say the things we are seeing in the message these days. Amen. He goes on, he says, then the voice said, we will review the churches. We have to be very careful because the influence of these churches is trickling into the message churches. Especially music, we have to be very careful to balance it. Because there's Hillsong here, there's Tallinn Czech over there, and you don't know what spirits they carry, and the music can filter through a church. The prophet is going to make it his business to emphasize on the music part. Let's not neglect this vision. It's a warning from the Lord, says the prophet. Amen. He says, you'll have to read between the lines now because he's going to address the way they looked. And I'm told that on this day, July the 5th, 1964, when the prophet began to tell the vision, remember, there were ministers visiting the Branham Tabernacle. Some of them got up and left. They didn't understand. But he had to tell the vision the way he saw it. He goes on, he says, the filthiest bunch I'd ever seen in all my life. And the voice said, the American churches, representing all denominations. He says, now read between the lines. They were led by a witch. She had a big mouth and a long nose. And the lower clothes they were wearing down here, the top just had a strap like that. Now, they say he was demonstrating, I don't know. That a strap like that, half an inch strap that moved over across. My goodness, how many of you remember the old fly bush? I don't know what that is, I'll still find out. He says they were dressed like they dress at these carnivals. Real short hair, fully exposed, makeup looked like street prostitutes. Their foremost parts and their hinder parts totally naked. And they were singing, twisting and rolling like twist and roll songs, moving their bodies from side to side, the lower part, sisters. God have mercy. I've seen it in message churches. I said, oh God, is this what we have worked hard for? Oh Jesus. And I saw three of them toward the back. As they were passing by, it might have been German or something like that. So the vision shifts to Europe, see? Yeah. And I saw them get out of step. And I cried out and I said, stay in line! Stay in line! And they were watching me. And the prophet says, I have to watch her, you know, the bride. She will get out of step with that word if I don't watch. He pauses. Maybe it won't be now. It'll be when my time is over. And you cannot deny that it's beginning to trickle in. So tonight's message will be a tremendous blessing. But don't let the blessings make you miss the warning. In a very clever way, we are going to share with you your defense system. You see, the prophet of God says, in spoken word is original seed. The most powerful quote I've ever read to my church. Prophet says in page 115, he says, you can only serve God in your day according to how the messenger interprets the word to you. Amen. With such quotations, George Martin follows no other Superman in the message. Because he tells me, I can only serve God for my age according to how the prophet interprets it to me. Laodicean Church Age, paragraph 286. He says, if I can express this, what he preaches, they put it on tape, it goes into writing. After I'm gone, the words will live on. I'm only standing as a transmitter. Hand of the Lord came upon him. Paragraph 71. May God come through my body as his servant, as a transmitter. The battle is recorded in chapter 17. If you know God's numbers, you'll be careful to note that one is the oneness of God, two is a witness, three is perfection, four, depending on which side you place it, is deliverance. On the other side, it's the four horse riders of death or the four little beetles that eat up the tree of God. Five is grace. Six is a number of man. Not only was he made on the sixth day, he is conditioned to work 6 days and rest. And minutes, 60 seconds, make a minute. There's a six there. 60 minutes, make an hour. When such a man dies, internationally, six people carry the coffin. Who told him? Internationally, when they dig a grave, it's 6 feet down. Who told them? And if you're a believer and you die in Christ, you go to the sixth dimension. Even the act that caused the fall is cleverly hidden in Genesis 3:6. And in German, it is ein, zwei, drei, vier, fünf, sechs. And we are told by those who study skin and what have you, that all of us, our skins are nanometer, the smallest measurement. We are 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6. As you look at me, all my cells that make up this body, they are nanometer, smallest measurement, 666. Hello, 666. But the one filled with the Holy Ghost. You see, there's another one that God warns us against. Another man whose number is 666, but you are a different 666. Deity is in you. Seven is the number of completion. Eight, as we know, is eternity back to the first day. But very few have studied what nine stands for. Nine stands for human gestation, the pregnancy of a woman, normal pregnancy. But nine is most beautiful because it is caught up between eight, eternity, and zero, which is also eternity. Ten. Nine stands between eight and zero. Nine is the only number. When you multiply by any number and you add up the result, nine times one is? Nine. Nine times two is? 1 and 8 is? 9 times 3 is 27. 2 and 7 is? 9 times 4 is? 36. 3 and 6 is? 9 times 5 is 45. 4 and 5 is? All the way. Number 9 is the only number that does it. Even when you come to 9 times 11, it gives you 99 But 9 and 9 still gives you 18. 1 and 8 still gives you 9. Ten is the number of the world, says the prophet in the countdown. 11 is the 11th hour, Gentile workers, that's you and me. Yeah. 12 is the number of worship. 13 is the number of America and the woman. Yeah. We have to respect our sisters, but speaking like a medical doctor within the bay, every 28 days, the red Chinese come to visit. Every 28 days, but if a month has got 30 or 31 days as our calendars have, what do you do with those odd days? You begin to add up the day, 2, 3 over here. By the end of the year, she has had 13 visits. 13 is the number of a woman. How? When Joshua is to deliver Rahab the woman, they walk around the city once for 6 days, that's 6 times. And on the 7th day, 7 times. 7 plus 6 is to deliver who? A woman. Amen. When Boaz is to redeem a woman, he calls 10 men, the minyan in Hebrew. He is the 11th man. There's another kinsman redeemer, 12. The woman is the issue, number 13. When a young Jewish boy becomes a bar mitzvah, 12 age, but the younger, 13, all the way you can run 13. Then the prophet moved on. He never really told you what 17 is, because he knew you must find it in the scriptures. When you read Genesis, it says this is the generation of Jacob, full stop, instead of Jacob begat, no. It doesn't go that way. He says, these are the generations of Jacob, Joseph being 17 years of age. What kind of a generation writing is that? It's because God is saying, for 16 years the young man has been dreaming, declaring his dreams, and they were laughing, even gave him a nickname. Here comes the dreamer. So in the 17th year, the system is going to change. 17 stands for system change. You need another 2 hours to run it. That's why when the prophet was baptizing the what? The 17th person, the system changed. Heaven spoke from above. Billy Paul began to help his father in the ministry when he was 17. The prophet says, I fought 16 professional bouts and won them. The 17th was a draw, and then it changed the system. He no longer fought physically. June 1933, the star speaks from above. 17 years later, the pillar of fire that spoke above. 17 years later, it takes a picture with him. 1946, in the cave, a man, an angel, appears and speaks to the prophet. 17 years later, the mighty angel in public. 46 was in secret. 63, mighty angel in the cloud. 17. 18 in Hebrew is chai, life. 28 is time of life. 40, judgment. 50, jubilee. On and on and on and on you can go. The battle is recorded where? Chapter 17. God is saying, I'm tired of this Philistine. They've been plaguing my people Israel so long. In chapter 17, I will change this system. Are you ready? Amen. The Bible says the area of the battle belonged to Judah. The devil likes to challenge you on your own grounds. Amen. So we ought to be aware where we are standing, whatever battle we fight, because if the place belongs to you, you've won half the battle already. Amen. And I'm here to say to you, the message of the hour belongs to you. Amen. That's already half the battle won.
Yes.
There's your weapon, sister. You know what? So watch the titles now. We're going to slot them in such a way that sometimes you might even think it's me talking. Not even knowing I'm quoting the title of a message. It's going to be a test. Can I drop in something beautiful here? We know that Moses and Elijah, when they come, they will minister 3.5 years to Israel. We heard this morning the ministry of Jesus and John, 3.5 years. For many years it bothered me. I said, where's Brother Branham's 3.5 years? He's as Moses. He's revealing the Son of Man. Where's his 3.5 years? One day while in the study, it came down like rain. You take all the tapes we have. Approximately 1,200 something, almost 300, 1,300. When you play a message a day, not a tape a day, the whole message a day, in 3.5 years you finished. Yeah. Hallelujah! Yeah. Brothers and sisters, we begin. So Israel was standing on the one side of the mountain that belonged to Judah. Israel in their homeland. The other side, where Goliath and his men were, was Satan's Eden. And their champion, Goliath, was God of this evil age. When David came along, he was nothing but spoken word is the original seed. David looked around, he said, what's happening, folks? They said, well, there's a champion over on the other side, and we are so afraid of him. He said, what's wrong with you? Those are souls in prison now. Amen. David's father had sent him with some food. Hallelujah. David's father said, my son, take these cheeses, take food to your brothers, spiritual food in due season. When he arrived, his brother said, what are you doing here? He said, father sent me, show us the father. Hallelujah. And David looked up toward the eastern sky on that day. It was a clear day. It was the rising of the sun. David looked around and he reconnoitered the area. It was fit for battle. He says, this is God's chosen place. He began to say to his brothers, shalom. 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 However, we are told that his three brothers were in the army, and they were a little resistant, if you read the Bible. They said, what doest thou here? David said, be not afraid. Stand still and you shall see the salvation of the Lord. David said, what I see here is, you guys are trapped. You are under the spell of this giant. Do you know where you are standing? It's decision time. David said, folks, could somebody tell me what's the attraction on the mountain? Amen. They said, well, a giant. He says, a giant is nothing. Speak to this mountain. Amen. David knew that that day would be the greatest battle ever fought. Amen. The Bible says when Goliath reappeared, Israelites backtracked. There were nothing but men running away from the presence of the Lord. Not Goliath. They were supposed to be standing their ground, which is the presence of the Lord. David says, what's wrong with you? No matter what that man says, whatever reaction, action, there must be a reaction. Don't you know, he said, about hearing the swearings, recognizing where you are standing, and acting on the word? David said, you amaze me. Don't you see that the man is brass all over? Brass on his head, brass on his shoulders, targets of brass, but brass, he says, don't you understand Revelation book of symbols? The symbols that are upon him declare that he's judged already. He said, what's wrong with you? Don't you see the symbols? Or are you blind, Bartimaeus? He says, I've got good news for you. The man is brassed all over and knoweth it not. David raised his sights a little above Goliath. That's what you should do. When a trial comes, don't look at it. Look above it. David raised his sight a little above the trial. And when David looked into the far distance, he saw oncoming storms of judgment. David says the indictment is on. Amen. I see no Goliath here, six and a span. He says, I see but a Tower of Babel. They said, David, this man has been a warrior from his youth. You are but a youth. He says, the bigger he is, the less likely that I'll miss. So the bigger the problem is, don't let it scare you. They're sooner and quicker it falls. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. But the big one, you can't miss it. Hallelujah. They said, David, David, please, man. David, this man is 6 point. He says, don't you know that faith is also a sixth sense? Goliath re-emerged with pride. It's a message title. He re-emerged with pride. He said, I am Goliath of Gath. I have fought so many battles. And you, do you have a champion among you? Anybody that can challenge me? You see, people suffer these days with things called arthritis, laryngitis, fibrositis. Have you noticed how cunning the devil is? He ends all his diseases with is, so that you speak it. So that you admit laryngitis. Arthritis. You know, when the Lord hit that on my heart in our church, I said, church, let's change our language. Begin to say laryngitis was. Fibrosite was. And my brother, people are getting healed. You see, the devil knows that it's in what you say. We heard it last night. So let's start saying it the right way. I don't have diabetes. Say it. I had diabetes. Give God the glory. Oh man. So Israel for 40 days have been suffering with Goliathitis. David had come with a cure, the balm of Gilead. David said, folks, the handwriting is on the wall for this chap. They said, David, could you please declare to us what you see? He says, I see wisdom versus faith. I see paganism versus Christianity. They're on two mountains. He says, this chap is nothing but hybrid religion. He's Jezebel religion. Do you see why we are not a denomination? Do you see why I'm against organized religion? Look how organized the army of the Philistines is. David began to address Goliath directly. David said, you know what? You are the meanest man I know. Those things that come out of your mouth are nothing but blasphemous names. You God of this evil age. You Satan's Eden. You serpent seed. You seed of discrepancy. Don't you know that the seed is not air with a shock? See, the seed was on this side of the mountain and the shock was on the other side of the mountain. David looks around to his brothers. He said, why are you trembling in your boots? It was not so from the beginning. Goliath began to curse a little more. Yeah, Goliath had lost his respect. Goliath said, give me a man. David looked around and says, there is a man here that can turn on the light. David said, I know who I am. Like it was said last night, we've got to know who you are. He said, I am the seed of Abraham. We are the Hebrews. We are the church in the wilderness. We are God's eagles. We are Israel and the church. He says, Saul, are you king over here? He says, yes, David. He says, what you need is the comforter. You have lost the fundamental foundations of faith. David says, can't you hear? Everything this man has been mouthing has brought the trial upon him and his people. Of course, at that time, Shammah, Eliab, Abinadab, they intervened to try to stop David. You will always find out that when you are trying to do something for God, something for the message, somebody interrupts. Not somebody from the denominations. From the message. From our own ranks. David said, you know what? You, Shammah, Eliab, Abinadab, three brothers against. He says, you worry me. Three kinds of believers? Can't you see that you are in the army all dressed up, all polished up? Men trying to do God a service? All glory! Amen. He says, you amaze me. You really do. Is your life worthy of the gospel? Why are you in the army if you're afraid? Why are you in the message if you're afraid? Is your life worthy of the gospel? I'm a little worried. David says, I'm not ashamed of him. Somebody said, why? David said, can't you see I'm ruddy, I'm called a stripling? But actually, I'm God hidden and revealed in simplicity. David said, so when you came here to this battle, what went ye out for to see? You see, David was one in a million. David stood for the reproach for the world. David was called, elected, anointed, and placed. You see, in times like these, God's gifts always find their places. Then David wanted to know. He says, tell me, folks, tell me, what's going to be the reward for any man that fights this uncircumcised Philistine? They said, oh, David, if you fight this man and you win, or any man who fights and wins, the king says, free housing. David says, ah, that's the future home. He says, ah, that's what house will you build me? They went through questions and answers, you see. They said another thing. You will get to marry the king's daughter. He said, ah, are those things that are to be?
Praise the Lord.
Guess what? At this time, David is becoming very excited. He says, what? So you become family with Saul? They say, yeah. You'll have communion with the royal house. David says, wow, the investments. My future is secured. If I win the battle, allow me to interject. Just to encourage you in a very wise way. A king had an only daughter, the prettiest in all the land. The king was a little fading out. He wanted to make sure that the daughter who's going to be the future monarch gets married to a proper boy. So the king advertised far and wide. He says, all the eligible bachelors, get yourselves ready. On such a date, 3 months down the line, there's going to be a swimming contest at the palace. The boys want you to flexing their muscles and popping pills and jogging, you know, to get themselves fit and ready. And off they went. And when the date arrived, they came from far and near, east, west, north, south. They gathered at the palace, and indeed, the king had built an Olympic-sized swimming pool. The boys were already stretching on the other side, and the king stood on the other with the daughter, and the king said, when I blow this whistle, the first one who swims across gets automatically married to my daughter, and there's a supper waiting. Then you inherit all things. And before the king could blow the whistle, they dumped crocodiles into the swimming pool. Very hungry crocodiles that hadn't eaten for 1 year. And the boys began to backtrack, you know, each one trying to find a spot to be safe because the crocodiles were snapping at their feet. Before you know it, there was one boy in the pool. He was swimming backstroke, butterfly, every style that you see, and he was dodging and diving. Dodging and diving the crocodiles, and he made it to the other side. Before the king could say, I give you my daughter, he looked back and says, just show me who pushed me in. So what these meetings have been since yesterday is simply to try to push you in. There's a reward on the other side. There's a wedding supper on the other side. And if you're reluctant because of all the threats, we are here to push you in. They said, David, You better change your mind and go back to those sheep that you left back there. David said, I'm sorry, I beg your pardon. Did I hear you right? Does God ever change his mind about his word? David had perseverance, you see. David had the token. David recognizes day and its message. David says, I'm worried, folks. Have you checked your COD? Your conduct, your order, your doctrine? They said, but look, you have no armory with you. You have no sword, you've got no spear, no axe, no shield. He says, No, I don't need any of those. I'll take the whole armor of God. Amen. David said, I'm here standing in the gap. I'm here contending for the faith. I'm convinced and I'm concerned. He says, the problem with you, be certain of God. Saul tried to interject. He says, as for you, Saul, you must be born again. David says, stand aside, my three brothers. Stand aside, Saul, and the rest of the army of Israel. Let us see God. Amen. You see, he knew that to have the faith of Abraham, wasn't that the series yesterday? To have the faith of Abraham is the victory already in sight. David said, folks, don't look to Goliath. Look away to Jesus. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. He among you stands one greater than the temple. You know what, my brother? David knew that all the judo lessons that anybody may have tried, kung fu, jaijutsu, that won't help. David knew that you only win the battle through the name of Jesus. David didn't look like one that had any strength, but you see, perfect strength is made manifest. Perfect strength by perfect weakness. David was the unrecognized presence of the Lord. David began to give his testimony. David says, you know, the other day while taking care of the sheep, a lion pounced and I took him by the beard. You know, I like David here. He's not saying, I hit him from far. He says, I hit him and I took him by the beard and slew him. That's how close he came. You and me would be throwing stones at a distance. But David says, I hit him and I went to him. I took him by the beard and I slew him. He says, by the same token, I slew a bear. Have you ever looked at that? A lion is a summer animal, really. It loves temperate climates. A bear, cold climate. You know what David is saying? My God is instant, in season, and out of season. Our God is not only the God of winter or the God of summer. He's the God of all the summers, all the winters, all the springtimes, and all the falls. David, indeed, looked at them and he could see they had a little bit of incredulity. They were a little unsure. He said, believest thou this? I'm able to take this man. David says, you know, you surprise me with all your war ethics. Don't you know this is what the Holy Ghost was given for? Huh? God is our provided way. David, when he gave the testimony, was remembering the Lord. David was reassuring himself with the absolute. And David said, I spoke it for the lion and the bear. Now I speak it again. This man will fall the same way. Why? You get what you expect. You see, when David began to give the testimony of the lion and the bear, he had passed his first and second pool. Now Goliath was his third pool before taking the throne. Well, trials in between, you know, but he was on his way to the throne. That's where we are. We're in the third pool. We are going through a few trials, but the throne awaits us. David was now in his third exodus. David was now at his present stage of my ministry. You see, when David spoke about the lion and the bear, he was saying, raising him out of history. The one who killed the lion and the bear is the same one today. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. David was a rejected king, but a king in the making anyhow. They said, David, how sure are you that this man will fall like the lion and the bear? He says, visions and prophecy. My latest visions. They said, what are visions? He says, well, they operate by perfect faith. Saul says, let's dress him up. This man is underdressed for battle. They began to dress him. Remember, the Bible says, Saul was head and shoulders above all. Now, if David is a ruddy fellow, and you're dressing him up in the armory of a man that's head and shoulders, after they dressed him up, they didn't know where David was. Yeah. They had to look for him. And David crawled out from under the armory. He said, hey, you guys make me look like an oddball. You see, what was David actually? God's masterpiece, amen. David was taking sides with Jesus. David was saying, our hope is in God. And at that moment, David looked around for his own weapons now. He had a sling and a staff. Now he needed some stones. And he looked around, he saw a little creek, a stream. He saw ever-present waters. Hallelujah! And David went down, and the Bible says he picked up five stones. The prophet says, J-E-S-U-S, Jesus. Five stones. F-A-I-T-H, faith. But the question tonight is, why did he pick up five stones and only used one? There's a Bible answer. If you ever read 2 Samuel 21, 22, the Bible says Goliath had four more giant brothers. So David took enough, knowing it's a stone for one giant, see? So when your problem comes, don't just say, Lord, solve this problem. Say, Lord, whatever problems are behind this one, arm yourself accordingly. Arm yourself enough. Yeah, it's like youth in my church. They are youth like anywhere else. Brothers are looking for sisters. Sisters are looking for brothers. There's nothing wrong in looking. But it's how you look. And I often say to the youth, you know, we marry for characters. That's what the prophet says. We don't marry for money, but surely at the back of your mind, don't marry for money, but please marry where money is. Because most marriages falter because love sometimes is not enough to carry you through. So don't marry for money, but make sure you marry where money is. Because the Bible says money answers all things. Yes. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of God. Oh my. Yes, sir. God is so good. It reminds me of this young brother. Oh my goodness. This brother comes and he loves this sister. She's pretty. She's got everything a young brother wants. She's got her degrees. Nothing wrong against that. And she's ready for life. And he proposes and she says, oh, sorry. I like the simple things in life, but you're not simple enough. Oh, have mercy on our brothers. Have mercy on our brothers. Oh, God. So, David, why are you taking five stones? He says, he's got four more brothers. So they ask David now. After he picks up the five stones, they say, David, what is that in thine hand? And David answers, five definite identifications of the true church. Did you hear that? He says, five definite identifications of a true church. And he says to them, don't you know that the souls of the Jews are under the fifth seal?
Yes.
David, listen, has a sling. I've got one here from Israel. It's when I traveled through the land of Israel that the sling took on a deeper meaning. Can you see the strings? Yeah. Old Testament, line of the word. New Testament, keep a straight line in the Old and the New. What? In the middle of the Old and New Testament, Christ became flesh. He took on skin. Yeah. So when David put that rock in there, he was symbolizing the day, the rock of ages, between the old and the new becomes flesh. Hallelujah! The devil is coming down. The devil must fall. David began to sling that rock. I'm going to close. I told it was going to be short. In Australia, Melbourne, I had a real stone from Israel. And as I began to do this, everybody was darkened. The pastor was on the floor. So this time I left the stone out. Hallelujah. So imagine a stone in there. And David, when he put that stone in there, it was what? God's wrapped gift. He wrapped it with the skin. It was God wrapped it, gifted. And Goliath saw that. He says, am I a dog? David says, let alone dog. You are a dogma. Yeah. Amen. And you know what? He says, furthermore, you are a false anointed one. And David began to, he says, take this as a warning before judgment. Hallelujah. Take it as a warning before judgment. At that time, the contest began. At that time, the countdown. David, the Bible says, ran out of the camp of the Israelites toward the camp of the Philistines. David was going beyond the camp. Yeah. Hallelujah. David was going beyond the camp and all the time swinging. All the time calling Jesus on the scene. Oh my. God has a provided way. David was in his presence. Is that right? David felt the presence of God come over him. And David waited for God's power to transform. Yeah. Hallelujah. The battle is not man. The battle belongs to the Lord. David was just waiting for God's power to transform. Transforming power. And the Bible says, you imagine it, but it's true. As he was swinging, the hand of the Lord came upon him. 1954. It's a title. You think I'm saying the hand of the Lord came upon David? Yes, but I'm quoting a message. The hand of the Lord came upon him. Something began to unite with David. Invisible union. There was a uniting time and a sign. David felt the unfailing realities of the living God. And David, as he ran toward Goliath, crying out, how can I overcome? How can I overcome? David, by asking, how can I overcome? We're simply saying, what shall I do with Jesus called the Christ? And when David connected with that power, and the hand of the Lord began to take over his hand, the sling began to make a wheel in the middle of the wheel. Hallelujah! And after a while, David no longer saw the swing. You know why? God had taken over. All that David could say was, sirs, is this the time? David says, Lord, if it is, sirs, is this the time? At thy word. And David remembered the lion. And David remembered the bear. And David cried out, once more time, Lord. The lion came down. The bear came down. Lord, once more time. Speak to the rock. Amen. And you know what? When David let go, it was God letting go. When that rock left the sling, it was a stone without hands. It was God's programmed missile. David, you see, was crying from the inner veil. And when David let go that stone, a guide took over. Hallelujah. When a guide took over, oh my, it was the captain of the Lord's host that took over. And at that time, Goliath, remember, he's a warrior from his youth. He's used to the sound of metal against metal, steel against steel. Boom. Now he hears another sound.
Uncertain sound.
Hallelujah. You took it out of my mouth. He hears an uncertain sound. And when it hits, before it hits, he says, something is coming. It was a flashing red light of his coming. Oh, my. And you know what? The Bible says that stone hit him in the forehead. And you know what? All the time, David was trying to put some sense into his head. Goliath didn't get it. But when the stone hit him, nothing had ever sunk so deep in his life before. As Goliath is struck, one of the Philistines asks him, "What hearest thou?" He says something like the sound of a mighty wind, rushing wind. What do they? How do they say it? Because he knows nothing of the things of the spirit. Oh my! And as Goliath begins to titter and to totter, Goliath cries out, "My world is falling apart." Hallelujah. And it is true, because where David hit him was where God had marked his great, 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 great grandfather, Mark of the Beast. And Goliath, hallelujah, at this time, no longer knows who he is, whose mama's name and papa's name. He's forgotten his brother's names. The stone has struck him. He's suffering from spiritual amnesia. At a place called Shokoh, the great giant got a shocker of his life. Oh my. And the Bible says the area was called also Ephes Damim. If you know how to count in Hebrew, Ephes is zero, Echad, Shtaim, Shlosh, Arba. My way, all the way to Sheh Sheva, Shimona, all the way to Esed. So now the area where he was struck is called Ephes, zero. The hero became a zero. You see, God even predestinates the place and gives it the right name. Dam in Hebrew means blood. Ephes Damim means zero blood. Serpent seed is zero blood. It's not God's blood. So when Saul saw this, because he had been looking for a champion to fight Goliath, when he sees David, he says, "Yeah, him will I accept." David looks back and says, "What think ye of Christ?" David takes the sword. I want all the little children to watch. David picks up that sword, a very heavy sword belonging to Goliath. He's waiting for God to give another sign. And God knows. He says, God's word calls for a total separation from unbelief. And he separated his head from his shoulders. Cut off his head. David was a super saint, you see. David was God in David at the time. When Israel saw this, when their eyes were opened, they saw that God is identified by his own characteristics. God is his own interpreter, because David was the spoken word, his original seed. David was nothing but unfailing words of promise. Saul looks up and says, "Aha, that's the testimony of a true witness." Amen. Yeah, he spoke about the lion, he spoke about the bear. Now Goliath is down. Now Saul begins to take charge of himself. You know that little pride. They say an orphan has no parents, but success has many fathers. Yeah, we all like to hear, you know, when brother so-and-so started, yeah, I'm the one that helped him start. You know, success has many fathers. Is that right? But if it's a brother who started there and nothing happened, we no, I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. Nobody wants to identify with failure. Amen. So now Saul suddenly says, "Hey, I have heard, but now I see." They said, "What?" He says, "Why, little Bethlehem? Why, little Bethlehem?" Say, "Yeah, why was it shepherds? Now I see the shepherd of the sheepfold." He says, "But there's a little paradox in the story." Yeah. Yeah, whose son is he? Remember that Saul suffered from memory lapse. A little while before the battle, they brought David and said, "Son of Jesse." He says, "Dress him up."
Yeah.
After all the melee and the activities, he's forgotten. He says, "Whose son is this?" They had to tell him for the second time. It's the son of Jesse. Do you know it's a deep mystery? That deep mystery of Christ coming to his own the first time. And they didn't know him. And they have to be reintroduced to him. Give God the glory. Yeah. Hallelujah. Why? Because works is faith expressed. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever looked at that title. I did. Works is faith expressed. Just take W, I for is, faith, F, expressed. It spells wife. Give God the glory. Only his wife in this hour will express the true works of the third pole. God was proving his word. The rest of Israel shouted, this day, this scripture is fulfilled before our eyes. The Bible says Israel took courage and they chased the Philistines. And that day there was a total deliverance. And that day, hallelujah, somebody cried out, who do you say this is? About David. And somebody cried out, who do you say is this Melchizedek? Who do you say is what? This Melchizedek. Why? Because one greater than all of us. I took it from your title last night and I slotted it in. Why? Because one greater than all of us is standing in our midst. Oh God, have mercy. The Bible says Israel took courage. Why? One man's influence over another. Oh, suddenly Saul says, I told you. This family of Jesse, they are the best. Hear ye him. Oh, glory. Oh, hear ye him. What was it? Manifested sons of God. It was adoption time. For 40 days they were cooped up under pressure. Now they were letting off the pressure. And then Eliab suddenly takes pride in his booty. His young brother says, yeah, he had to pass this way.
Yeah.
He has to pass this way. Oh, my brother. They chased the Philistines right up to Gath and Ekron, possessing the gates of the enemy. You know what? It was that day on Calvary, my brother, my sister. Then the Bible says David took the weapons of Goliath and placed him in a tent vision. Hallelujah. Then there was a victory day. It's a title message. There was a victory day that day. That day there was nothing but the restoration of the bright tree. From that time, Israel was forever free. Then Saul calls David. He says, David, just tell me, what manual of war did you study? You know, maybe some college in Oxford or Cambridge. Just tell us what subject you took. David says, no, nothing of the sort. It was Gabriel's instructions. Oh my, hallelujah. So in about 2 minutes, I'm giving over to the pastor. That is my South African testimony. I'm closing with this. In Nigeria, the neighbor is jealous of the neighbor, like this. But the other neighbor that he's jealous about is a message brother who just came in about 2-3 weeks in the message. This brother is playing the message night and day. He's so excited. He got tapes and they are playing one after the other. The other neighbor who's jealous does not know. He calls for the chief voodoo of the area to come cast a spell. This is a true happening.
Amen.
The juju master comes from wherever. He's got all his muti. You know, he comes from Africa. He's got all crocodile's tongue, and he's got mbuzi. Yeah, he's got this. I know these things. I was raised among them. He's ready to cast a spell, but he has to wait for midnight. And Brother Ben says, that's when, on our side, demons operate less because they're on the other side. But these dark forces, they also wait for the thickness of darkness. So as he casts the spells, they come back screaming. He casts again. 1 hour later, they come back screaming. Up till 5 the next morning, the voodoo juju priest packed his stuff. He says to this man, he says, until you get that English-speaking man out of that house, I can do nothing. So the next day, the man makes like he's coming to say to Brother Maria, hey, good morning, neighbor, how are you? But he actually wants to see, who's this English-speaking man in the house? Eventually, he sees nobody, and he asks Brother Murray. He says, "You have a visitor?" Brother Murray says, "No." He says, "Well, there's a man's been speaking here all night." And he says, "Yeah, he's a prophet of God." He grabs those tapes. He says, "You don't know what power you're sitting with."
I'll say something. The Lord only made one George Martin. But we're glad he made him. We really do appreciate it. And threw away the moment. Let's right, if the musicians can come, let's come to worship. It's wonderful. And imagine, I remember Brother George once when Similar was in the Only Believe magazine, and he said, imagine if the titles of the messages themselves can make such a message. Imagine if you get into the actual content of those message titles. Imagine that. He's just scratched the surface there of all the titles of the messages. So imagine the power in those messages, especially you young people. That's the one thing I see. When we were young, we fed on the messages day and night. We'd listen in the morning, we'd listen in the night. And there's power, power, wonder-working power in those messages. Let's sing that song, power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen.
There is power,
power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power.
Power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb.
this one message title I was waiting for Brother George to say, but he didn't say it. So I'll mix it in with another one that he did use. If you eat spiritual food in due season, you will have experiences. Amen. The prophet preached those message experiences three times. In the early days, if you're looking for experiences in your life, genuine experiences, just feed on the message of them. I put a challenge to anybody here this week. Separate from Facebook with all of its nonsense. Lay aside Twitter and all of the Twitter. Leave it for a while. Feed on the word. Get up in the morning and pray. Put on the message of the hour. When you're in the car on the way to work, when you're on the bus going to your college, put the earphone in your ear. Listen to the message. When you get home in the evening, shut yourself in your room. Call upon the name of the Lord. Put on the voice that was sent to this age. And I guarantee you, do it for 1 week. Just sincerely for 1 week and see what a difference it makes. There's power. There's power. There's wonder-working power. This is the voice of the blood. This is the voice of the token. There's such wonderful power. It has the power of transformation. It'll do something for you. Let's sing that song. Yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus is the same. We haven't sung it for quite some time. It's a glorious message that simple faith can lay a hold of, that Jesus is the same.
Oh, how sweet the glorious message, simple faith that claims. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. Still He loves to say the same for Him, the same
He can live.
Saying, Brother George, the Hillsong songs, they might be sexier. They might be better in their tune and their whatever. But the old songs, that was the whole gospel in one song. How he saves the sinner, he heals the sick. If you're backsliding on the way to Emmaus, he'll meet you there. And he's the same Jesus. We'll hasten, Lord, the day. In one song, that man got an inspiration. You go and take a lot of these modern songs, they're so shallow. There's no depth. There's no real gospel. And you know why, if I can tell the honest truth? Because the people who wrote them don't have a real experience. But you, somebody has had a real experience in Christ.
Amen.
It'll be reflected in the inspiration of what you sing, what you preach, what you testify to people. Our friends, I appreciate some of those old-fashioned songs that have a depth. Because there's something in your soul that resonates and can recognize the testimony that that person is giving. Let's not forget them. Let's sing one more. Let's sing that song, Walking in the Footsteps of Elohim. Don't you want to do that? As we go from this place, let's keep walking in the bloody footprints. It's not a popular way. You're not going to be popular at college when you're dressing the way that God ordained a young lady to dress. You're not going to be popular. When you're at college and a little girl flashes her eyes at you and you make a stand for holiness, you're not going to be very popular. I remember before I got married and I didn't play with the world. And then people would say, what's wrong with him? Is he gay? It was the reproach for the cause of the word, friends. If you want to walk with Christ, you're going to have to bear the reproach. So let's seek his grace. We so appreciate the strength he's put in us in these services. We're so glad we could come and drink from the breasts of El Shaddai, that we could nurse strength. But let's pray, Lord, let it not be campground religion. Let it extend out as a testimony. Let it extend as we go from this place. And it doesn't finish here. We have Brother McCrosby with us next weekend. Wonderful for us, not so wonderful for him. But wonderful for us. And may the Lord give us another portion, a good dose of the old-fashioned Holy Ghost religion. Because that's what we need. Let's sing this song, saints, before we come to him.
You have chosen a narrow path, the hardest way. There's a great portion of heaven.
There's a great portion of heaven.
It's waiting for you because of what you decided. Oh.
Prophecy,
the angel told to the great messenger. That is what reproduces great victory in the love divine. I will walk this path. In the footsteps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of time.
For this path there's many, many, many trials. This path there's many trials
and many battles against the enemy.
God is Holy Spirit. Oh, there is not much time remaining.
There is not much time remaining.
Oh, to walk in this path. We can already hear the chariots of our beloved one. That's my desire, that divine love will live in me. That divine love will live in me.
Let's bow our heads. Let's not be the nine lepers. Let's be the one that comes back to Him today to thank Him for what He's done for us. I don't think it would be fair to leave this place without thanking Him. Our friends, He's spoken to me. He touched me in such a real way. I'm so appreciative of what He's done for me this weekend. He's good. He's mindful. He's so kind. He's so thoughtful towards us. He's so patient. Now He bears with us. He's the fullness of divine love. So I'd say the best thing that we could do is let's come to Him now in prayer. And let's worship Him. Let's thank Him for what He's done, for where He's spoken to you, for how He's touched you, He's healed you. Maybe He's given you new hope. Maybe He's spoken to your soul and there's been a resurrection of something inside of you. Oh, let's water that with praise. Let's come before the Lord in prayer, saints. If you have a desire, you need, speak to Him. Speak to the rock. Whatever you need. But the best thing we could do is just to thank Him. To say, Lord, thank You. That when You ascended on high, You led captivity captive and You gave gifts unto men. Oh, Father, how wonderful that it is that You send Your servants our way and that You quicken that divine deposit that You put inside of them. And Lord, You speak directly to our situation, to our circumstances. Our friends, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's come to pray. Let's appreciate the Lord before we go from this place. Father, we do so appreciate You. Father, I just want to really, really thank You, Father, for Your grace and for Your mercy.
Father, we come before the Lord, thanking Thee, Father, for this weekend that You've given unto us, Lord. Sadly, Lord, Father, now that we have to go back to the hustle and bustle of work, Father, You know the weekend, what lays ahead. Father, You know the weekend and what lays ahead in the way of work. Jesus, we're just looking unto Thee, O God.
Yet again to Thine house, Lord, Shabbat. Father, we ask Your grace for our sister, Lord, Shabbat. Direct us in all that we do, Lord, Shabbat. Father, You be that we need, Lord, the portion that we need, Lord. Father, Lord, You watch over us, Lord. Keep us always, Lord, we pray. Remembering, Lord, Savior, Father, oh God, just, Lord, to walk right, Lord, even in Thy sight we desire this Thy time.
Father, we just want to come and say thank you, Lord. Amen. We just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the cross. And amen. Thank you for the blood. Amen. Thank you for the real Christmas, Lord. Amen. Father, thank you for the Holy Ghost that was so freely given. Amen. At such a great cost. Father, thank you for the veil that was rent. Amen. Thank you that you called us, Lord. Father, thank you that you washed us in your blood. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that you delivered us from darkness, Lord. Thank you that you've allowed us, Lord, to gather. In your name, Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your gifts. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the message and the prophet, Lord. Thank you for, Father, faithful people that have arranged these meetings and brothers and sisters that have supported, Lord. And thank you, Father, for the ministers that have come, Lord. Father, our brother George and Sister Portia, bless them, we pray, Lord. And Brother Crosby, Lord, Sister Florence, their family, bless them as well, Lord. Brother Tommy, Lord, we just pray, Lord, and thank you, Father, for each and every one of these things. Thank you for everything that was said under inspiration. Thank you for every situation that you've ministered to. Thank you, Lord, that you've sent your word and that you've healed people. Thank you that you've sent the word of deliverance to other people. Thank you that light, Father, has risen in the darkness in the lives of other people. Thank you that other people have heard your voice for the first time. Thank you for people that are responding to your call. Father, thank you, Lord, for each and every one of these things, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you put us in this hour. Thank you, Father, that, Lord, in the mystery of your will, you predestinated us to stand for thee right at the end of time. Father, we just want to finish the course. Father, we just want to glorify thy name. Lord, we just want to say, Father, glorify thy name. We just want to say, be it unto us according unto your word. That, Father, all that you've desired, let it be expressed for your glory, Lord. I just want to thank you, Father, for this place that you've given to us. Father, let this be a place that many people will meet thee in such a real way. Let this be a place, Lord, that you would use to transform the lives of people. Father, bring in the sick, bring in the lost. Father, bring in the hopeless cases of this world. And Father, let the power of transformation be at work in this place. That people may know that Jesus is the same. That Father, the same one who met the man in the tombs is still alive today. That Father, the same one who met the woman at the well. Father, in all of her immorality, Lord, when the people had given up, Lord, you reveal yourself the same. The same one, Lord, that worked in the lives of simple fishermen, Lord. And Father, you turned the world upside down through what you did in and through those people. Let it be done in this place. Father, we just want to appreciate upon this day. We just want to express unto thee, Lord, that Father, we just want to give it all. Father, you strengthen us, Lord. Continue to give us health and strength and continue to inspire us and feed our souls, Lord. And Father, let that be translated into faithful, loving service to thee, Lord, as Father would come to the end. And Father, even as visitors would go to different places, we pray your special blessing upon them, Lord. For Brother Alex, Sister Anna, being with us, Lord, bless them. Father, bless them and bless Brother Billy, the saints that are there. Father, we pray for the assembly. Help them, Lord. Guide them in the new year. Let it be a special time. Father, in this year that would lay before, even Brother Crosby and Sister Flo, when they go back next week, Lord, bless the assembly there, Lord. Father, do great things in their midst, Lord. Father, let it be a lighthouse, Lord. Let you the glory, Lord, of your testimony, what a shine in that place is our desire, Lord. Father, in this place, Lord, continue to hide yourself in simplicity. But Father, reveal yourself in the same. And help us to believe for greater things, Lord. Continue to challenge us, Lord. Continue, Lord, to Lord, move upon us that we may move beyond our boundaries, Lord. Continue, Lord, Father, just to, Lord, blow the winds that, Lord, we may spread our wings and fly, Lord, and give you all the glory, Lord. And Father, as we go from this place, protect us on the way. Keep us, Lord. Father, bless each person that would travel, we'd pray, Lord. Father, watch us, Lord. Bless each officer, Lord. Bless each, the musicians, the song leader, Lord. Each brother and sister, all them that contributed towards food. And Father, towards all these things, bless your people. We just want to thank you upon this day to say thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. May you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Saints. Amen. I remember the one song Kent Henry says, it says, if you're going to clap for him, give him a good one. Yeah. Mr. Brackrick. If you may be seated 1 second, Saints, we just really want to thank the Lord. Just want to really thank the Lord for the services right from yesterday. Really did appreciate Brother Tom. May the Lord bless him. But to say to Brother Crosby, who's here, thank you so much, brother. It's been a blessing. Really did appreciate it. We really look forward to the services coming up ahead. To say to the saints, we will have a service on Wednesday. We'll announce just exactly what format it's going to be. So please be in prayer about that. Then on Christmas Day, we have a communion service in the evening time. So I know that some saints, Sister Rachel's going to be away, Sister Noella and that, but whosoever the Lord stirs up upon that day. I don't think there's anything better you can do on a Christmas Day than to have communion. So at about 4 o'clock, we'll gather here Christmas Day to come for a communion service. Let's come and have communion and foot washing. Let's remember when the Word was born in flesh. And let's remember what He's done for you and I. Then next weekend, on Saturday evening, 6 o'clock, Sunday morning normal service, Brother Crosby will be preaching for us. We really do appreciate that. So let's be in prayer for those services as well. And then from there, we just look to the new year. So just to let you know, the program of events that lays before, please keep it in prayer that the Lord may continue to take us forward. To say to Brother George Martin as well, we really do appreciate and thank him for his ministry. It's been a blessing. God has made him in a unique way. Like Brother Crosby said, he's a real encyclopedia of the message. God prepares a man and uses him in the way that he made him. And we really do appreciate it. He's been a blessing. And we so do appreciate the fellowship we've had with him. So do appreciate the ministry as well of the word. And to everybody else who's been involved, thank you very much. We do appreciate the time, Brother Will, the trustees, the deacons, everybody. Thank you very much. The unsung heroes, those behind the scenes, we do appreciate. And for the saints, for the unity, for the harmony, it's really, really can be told in the atmosphere. Amen. When the Lord starts to move and to work. And may He continue to lead us and guide us. Let's sing one more song before we are dismissed. Do you have one, Brother George, for us? Amen. Let's stand, saints, once more, and God bless you as we dismiss in Jesus' name.
I'll sing a few like, short songs.
Yes,
this old world can never hold me anymore.
Consecration.